Dear Yah, we enter into your presence on another training school night in order to seek your wisdom and understanding in reference to our lesson on tonight. We just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth, and we bless you for our wonderful Savior who's soon to return. In his name we do pray. Amen. All right. it's kind of ironic that I said lead us and guide us in all truth, because that's what I want to deal with on tonight. I have written about it, and I want to share some things with you as a result of this on today, because this is another facet of drawing the line in the sand. You know, when I had mentioned that I had a talk with Yah, and I was like, okay, what is going to be the difference between those that belong to you and those that are led by you? What is going to be the defining line in order to establish? You know, it's kind of like what the prophet. Prophet Elijah said when he was asking our nation, he was like, okay, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? And he was like, if Baal be God, then worship him. Or if Yah be God, then we worship him. And the people answered not a word, because there were specific things that he had asked to be done in order to make a clear distinction that that you know, Yah was the true God, and that, you know, there was no other God that could stand before him. And so, being that we, you know, we're coming into some understanding of some things about the last days. You know, we've been dealing with the series, you know, Last Days Unsealed, and we'll finish on with that. The next service about that. We deal some things on Sabbath, and then we also deal some things on Sunday service, in particular about the last days unsealed. But I want to just show you some things in the Scripture just to encourage us to be able to see and be able to comprehend what is going to be the defining line, what's going to make us different. Okay, what's going to make us different. Now, I like to start out with how I wrote this, and then we'll move into some areas of Scripture. Like I said, we've dealt with some of these Scriptures before, but it's just that with the lesson we're dealing with on tonight, we'll look at some of these passages in a little bit more detail even. Okay, our talent is truth, okay? And I said it doesn't matter how much evidence is given to confirm it. Most people still prefer the lie as precedence because it is the most believable. It is vitally important for us to understand that we're living in a time frame where it is easier for a person to accept the lie than it is the truth, because the truth is in these days that we're in, is so much deception that truth is a rare thing in this day and time. So you have deception that's everywhere. You have deception in the media. You have deception in society, you know, in neighborhoods and, you know, communities and, you know, job circumstances. All this deception and these lies and all these things are going on to the point to where it causes a person to have a hard time accepting the truth. When you've been, you know, even in the church, you have deception and lies that's in the church. And so when you come and you start teaching things that a person can sit down and actually look at in the Scripture, I mean, the person, you know, people really struggle with that, because it's just so much deception and lies that's out there, okay? And so that's why I'm saying it doesn't matter how much evidence is given to confirm truth. You can show precept upon precept, line upon line. You can go over and beyond to reveal truth to a person, but most people just prefer a lie as precedence. They just prefer it because that's easier to believe. You know, it's easy to believe that, and I'll just use this for an example. It's easy to believe that when the media say that, you know, some well-known person went out and did all these crazy things and they're this and they're, you know, that way. It's easy to believe because the media is caught up in this deception and being controlled by it to the point to where, you know, if you notice, you very seldom hear good news in the media. And what's amazing to me about people looking to the media as far as news is concerned, you know, you look at just regular news. You very seldom, it's like good news don't sell. You know, good news doesn't sell. You know, they rather report about a you know, a teenager, you know, they rather report about a teenager slapping his mom than a report about a teenager making straight A's. Because everything that's associated with it is designed to feed us information to cause us to fall by the wayside. And there's some scriptures that I want to deal with even as far as that is concerned. And so it makes it hard to accept and hard to believe. Now, let's go ahead and deal with this. We'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hi. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 1. And then we'll move to the passage where I want to be, which is mainly verse 4. Verse 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before Yah and Jehovah Yeshua the Messiah, the Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Says, preach the word, be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, verse 4 is what I really want to concentrate on. Verse 4 says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, Alan had mentioned this, I think, several times, and when you look at what this is saying in this passage, it confirms an example that he has used from talking on this subject matter. Well, verse 4 again, 2 Timothy 4, verse 4 says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, when it says for the truth, we know obviously the foundation is the scripture. So we know that's the landing pad whereby we take off from, but we need to expand our mind to understand that this implies everything across the board. The scripture is the foundation. People will turn away from the scriptures, but because they turn away from the scriptures, it opens their mind up to turn away from everything as far as moral uprightness is concerned. So when you start to look at that, and I use the news as far as an example, when you look at the thing that the news does, the news is so focused on that which is corrupt. And such bad news that they turn away from anything that is true. And I like when it says truth here. It says what is true in any matter. In any circumstance you can look at and decide in the day, and you will come to the realization that people do not want to hear the truth. They have a hard time hearing the truth. You know, I love what scripture said. They strain out a gnat, but then they can swallow a whole camel. They can swallow a big old lie, but if you give them one little bitty gnat size of truth, they strain at it, and it's hard to swallow. That's a society that we live in. That's a society that we live in, and it's vitally important for us to understand that when the line is drawn in the sand, this is the method by which we have to understand. We have to understand that the majority of the things that we talk about, people are not going to accept. These are the days that we're living in. There was a time frame when people were looking to operate in righteousness. We're no longer in those days. We're no longer in the time frame where people were seeking Yah. I remember when I first got in church, there were people who were flooding to the church at that time frame, and you start seeing all these mega churches pop up. What I mean by mega churches, these large churches that had thousands of people and things like that, is because people started migrating, so to speak, to the church because everybody was seeking for something. Everybody was seeking for some form of truth. And so when you initially, or from my initial experience, I started seeing a lot of people who was really saying, man, I just wanna get somewhere where I can just hear the truth preached, and man, I wanna learn, you know, Yah's way, and I wanna get an understanding of those things and operate within those things. And then, you know, you saw people flooding to the church. But then you had blind eyes leading. You had men and women whose heart wasn't right, and their sole purpose for doing what they were doing was for selfish reasons. And so, you know, it got people in the mindset to the point where they start looking at things from a religious standpoint instead of looking at it from the fact that, you know what, I want to stick to what is true. And it is most important for me to get around or get under someone who's going to be able to reveal that truth.
My mama.
Make sure that you put your phones on mute. I can hear someone talking. Everyone, make sure your phone's on mute. Okay. And so that's when, you know, that's why it's vitally important for it to be understood. Again, verse 4 says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What is true in any matter? People are like that across the board. Sometimes I just test people. I'll tell them the truth. They won't believe that. But you turn around and tell them a lie, they'll be like, yep, that's exactly the way I believe that right there. I believe that. And so that time when I would test the person just by telling them the truth, and people have a hard time accepting and believing and accepting the truth. But let somebody come around and say, girl, you know what? Lana was running down the street, took all her clothes off and just running down Interstate 30. Everybody be saying, yeah, girl, but everybody wants that information because people are more accustomed to accepting a lie than they will the truth. But if you turn around and tell the truth from this perspective and say, you know what, she was out there standing on the corner just telling people about Yah as they came up. No, Lana wouldn't do that. No, she wouldn't do that. You know, and that's the mindset of people. So a nation turn away their ears from the truth, what is true, in any matter. Alan, you have something? And so it's vitally important for that to be understood. Now, and then it says, and shall be turned unto favor. So here's what the scripture reveals to us, is that it is vitally important for us to understand that when people turn away from the truth, they have to turn to something else. Anyone who turns from the truth has to turn something. Has to turn to something else, and that's why the scripture said, "And shall be turned unto fables, falsehood, fictions." You see it all throughout. You see it all throughout the media, all throughout our daily lives. We're always getting information, and what I'm learning. Really, why I say I'm learning because you know I'll be forever learning. But what I'm learning to do is when I hear something, to allow the Spirit of Yah to nuance me, to rest on my mind in order for me to before I come to a specific conclusion about a matter. It's vitally important for us to make sure that that we're in a situation where we don't just accept everything that we hear from the perspective of a lie. See, because one thing about a lie is this: a lie takes a whole lot of propping up. And what I mean by that is one just leading to another, but the truth can stand alone by itself. You know, and that's why it's vitally important for us to understand that, okay? Now, Luke 8, verse 9 and 10, it gives an example to show why this is that way, why people are this way. In other words, when people don't position themselves to accept the truth, then it opens up the door for them to accept falsehood and things of fiction, and things, in other words, things that are not true. But our Savior said this concerning the things that are true in comparison to those things which are not true, from a perspective of people who are always looking for that. So I'll read Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 10. It says that his disciples, now the word disciples mean learners, pupils. His learners, disciples are those who are taught, they're learned, they were the pupils of our Savior, Yahushua. And so they ask him saying, what might this parable be? And so in order for us to see the parable, we have to go back up and look at this. So we'll go up to Luke chapter 8, we'll go to verse 1. Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Okay, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says, and it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of Yah, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake a parable. Now, when you look at a parable, parables are revealed. Our parables are mentioned in order to conceal certain things, because it's only designed for specific people to understand. So our Savior did this a lot. He spoke things in parables for a specific reason, and we'll understand this as we go down to verse 9 and 10. Again, it says, verse 4 says, and when the people were gathered together and would come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable, and saying, this is a parable now, parable, he said, verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So he sowed seed, some fell, Some didn't fall in the ground whereby which he sowed, it fell on the side, okay? And it says, and the birds, basically in a nutshell, of the air devoured it. They ate the seed. Verse 6, he says, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You know, you see something that's out there, you know, a plant come through a rock, it makes it difficult for it to get moisture. Then 7, he said, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it out, and choked it, okay, and choked it. Verse 8, he said, others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. He cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so, So one of the things that I want to point out here is like what I've been constantly saying to us over and over, is that there are things that we're going to say, and they have to be said, okay? They have to be said. And so there are things that we're going to say, whereas it may be spoken in a crowd, but only the hearer is going to hear. Not everybody's going to hear what's being said, although they have ears to hear. That's why we can't get caught up into being a ministry that's concerned about quantity as far as numbers, large groups and things like that is concerned. Y'all may do that, but that's not my concern. My concern is quality. My concern is a hearer. Okay? Now, verse 8, he says, and others fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 9 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? What is this? You're saying something, we don't get it. You're using a comparison, but we don't get what this boils down to. Okay? We don't get what's going on. Now, what he responds to them by saying now, and I'll read verse 9 again, it said his disciples, his learners, his pupils asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto them, he said unto you learners, okay, unto you pupils, it is given to know. Now, when he says know, it means to understand. Unto you is given to understand the mysteries, because there are things that Yah is going to reveal to us that is going to be mysterious to people. That's why certain things you will share, people will look at you like you're crazy. The things that we have, lessons on and things that we share, people are going to look at you like you're crazy, because these are mysteries of the kingdom that's been revealed to you. And at the same time, we have to share these things, but we share them with the mindset of saying, okay, whosoever will, let him hear. The same way as our Savior did. He talked to masses of people, but at the same time, he knew that it was given only to a few to learn, given only to a few to understand. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is in the midst of the crowd. It's still given to those who are willing to be pupils, to be learners, to be disciples of Yahushua in order to come into the truth. So that's why he said, again, unto you, learners, pupils, it is given to know, it's given to understand the mysteries. Mysteries are secret, hidden things. They're secrets, they're hidden things. In other words, the Spirit will come upon us as a disciple or as followers of Yahushua, followers of the true Mashiach. Those who submit and follow him will come into understanding of mysteries, and we'll reveal those mysteries. Okay? We'll reveal those mysteries. As we reveal those mysteries, what we're doing, we're revealing secret things. We're revealing hidden things. That means we didn't have enough sense to come up with. The things that I teach, Alan teases me all the time. I be just telling him, shut up, you know. He teases me all the time. He be like, that's why I be telling you, you just can't get this stuff by just studying the Bible. He used to always say, you know, all you got to do is study. He's like, no, studying don't get this. Well, he's telling the truth because the mysteries have to be revealed by Yah. That's why I encourage any of you, don't approach the scripture from a traditional standpoint. If Yah is not leading you to look at the scripture, I recommend you not do it. Because now it's just tradition now. And hidden things can't be revealed if all we just do is study, is look or study the scripture out of tradition. Well, I got to do my daily Bible study. There are times when I have picked up the Bible from a traditional standpoint, and I'm talking even here recently, and I can tell when I'm picking it up out of tradition. When I pick it up out of tradition, the Spirit of Yah does not reveal anything to me. It's just like me just reading a book. Finally, I'll be saying, man, let me put this Bible down. I need the mysteries to be revealed, and when the mysteries are revealed, the hidden things are revealed, and so that's what he's saying unto the disciples. Okay, everybody else heard me, but only you, my chosen one, my disciples, are the one that's given to know what I see. Everybody else walking away saying, boy, what that boy talking about seed falling by the wayside? And they sitting around thinking about it, trying to figure it out, but he's saying to you, it's given to know. So here's what I'm saying in a nutshell. All of you who have the opportunity to hear mystery, hidden things, whether it's from me or anybody else that's led by the Spirit of Yah, that is Yah saying to you, it's given to know. He's saying, I wouldn't take my time to share this information with somebody that is not given to them to know. I only share these hidden things with my pupils, to those who are my learners. If you are a pupil of mine, if you belong to me, if you are my pupil, if you are someone that I've designated to be a learner of me, he said, I'm going to have hidden things revealed to you. He said, now when they are revealed, he said, now you can't be like everybody else now. You got to be the hero. You have to be a hero. Now, again, he says now, again, unto you, unto the learners. That's one thing. It's hard for me to get off that because it's vitally important for each one of us to remember, for each one of us to understand this. When Yah sends someone who's able to unseal mysteries and hidden things, it is because to you it's given to know. That's why you're chosen to know. That's why they're coming to you. That's why you're hearing. That's why you're making the adjustments and all those things. Because Yah is saying to you my pupil. He's saying to me, you my learner. And since you're my pupil and you're my learner, I'm sending someone to unseal things. I'm sending someone to reveal mysteries to you, to reveal the hidden thing. No, the average person can't come up with this kind of information. Yah send people like that in your lives so that you can come to the understanding that, you know what, he loved me enough to send somebody else to me, to reveal the truth, and that means I belong to him. It is given to me to know. There's something going on with me that makes Yah love me enough to say, you are a learner of me. You are a pupil of mine. And because you are, I'm going to deal with you. And I'm going to constantly give you information. You may not like it all the time, but he's going to constantly feed us information so that we can grow. All right? Again, he said, and he said unto you, and our Savior said unto the disciples, he said unto you, learners, pupils, it is given to know. It's given to understand the mystery. Secrets, mysteries of secret, hidden things of the kingdom of Yah. There are things of the kingdom of Yah that are mysterious to mankind. That's why sometimes I'll write things and I'll put these things down and people be like, boy, that boy gone crazy. That's because it's a parable to them. But those who are the disciples, the pupils, the learners of Christ, then they be like, okay, I see what you're saying. Or they'll come around and say, okay, what do you mean? Give me a clearer understanding. Just like the disciples did. It was like, okay, I don't quite get it, but can you give me an understanding of why you said these things? It's given to know. It says, again, it's given to know, understand the mysteries, secret things, hidden things of the kingdom of Yah. But he says this, but the others in a parable. Yah said, there are certain things that I will have my teachers to say, and it'll go over people's heads. They'll say things in parables. These parables are for the sake of concealment. Because Yah said, I'm not talking to everybody. When our Savior gave the parable, he turned around and what he said, I'm gonna paraphrase what he said when he said he didn't have the ear. He turned around, he said, well, I'm not talking to everybody. I just said this, but I'm not talking to everybody. I have to put it out there. You have to tell the world, but at the same time, you're not talking to everybody. So I have to say it that way to get you to understand that only the pupil and the learner, only those who Yah is pulling toward him, will be able to take in, comprehend, and accept what's being said. Everybody else going to be like, man, yeah, they ain't mine. That's some kind of cult. They teaching doctrines that I ain't never heard before. Incredible. He says, but to others in parables for the sake of concealment. That's what parables are in a nutshell. It's for the sake of concealment. Yes, I say these things to conceal information. Okay? For the sake of concealment, he says that seeing they may not see. This is from a physical perspective. It's the senses. He says, I say these things and I say them so that they see with their bodily eye, with their sight, but they still don't see. Okay? That seeing they may not see with their bodily eye. There are things of the kingdom that Yah is not going to reveal to you according here it is. There are things that Yah is not going to reveal to us according to our senses. So if you want to know a type of person that has to see it first, you'll never see the kingdom. If you have to see it to believe it, things will always, hear what I'm saying. If you have to see it to believe it, you will always be in position to be deceived. There are some things that's going to be revealed to you that's hidden, that's mysterious, that the eyes can't see it physically and the ears can't hear it. But you're going to have to know that it's the truth because it's revealed by the Spirit. It's vitally important for us to understand that there are things that go on in life that we're not going to be able to comprehend it from a physical perspective. I gotta see him do it before I believe it. You'll never see it because Yah said, if you can't be led by me to know by the Ruach, the Spirit Nuach, the Spirit rests on you, he said, if you gotta know about the senses, I'll never let you see it. He said, when you position your mind to merge with mine, he said, you don't have to see nothing with your physical eyes. You don't have to hear nothing with your physical ears. He said, because I'll let you see it by the Ruach. I'll let you hear it by the Ruach. And you be saying things that you've never seen or ever heard. Hidden things. How can you see something that's hidden? How can you say something that's never been heard? How can you know it to be true without ever seeing it or ever hearing it? By the Ruach. That's why he said, he goes on to say, let me clear my message. That's why he goes on to say, now, to others now, you have to realize that you are not in the category of the other. The reason why you're here. The reason why you know, each one of you are listening to me today. Yah is saying to you, you are part of this ministry because you are a pupil of the kingdom. You are a learner of the kingdom. These things are given to you to know. So don't get disappointed if everybody is not seeing it the way you see it. My pupils only see this way. They don't see with the senses. They don't see with that's of the physical. And Yah said these things are revealed for the sake of concealment. I conceal it from them. And that's why they always operating in deception, because they're always trying to go around and look for it, hear about it. The Ruach can reveal things that nobody else are able to see or hear. The Spirit can. That's why it's vitally important for us to be led by the Spirit. Okay? Then he says that seeing they may not see with their bodily eyes or sight, and hearing they may not understand. You have people that can hear something, and they can't understand it or comprehend it or be wise. See, when we operate in falsehood, then it puts us in position where we don't operate in wisdom. Because Yah said the hidden things that can open up the wisdom to take care of any circumstance is not revealed because the senses are too much in the way from a perspective of turning away from the truth and looking or operating or turning to fables, falsehood, fiction. Okay, you have some? Okay, falsehood of fiction, okay? So again, he says, seeing that they may not see with the physical, and hearing they may not understand. They may not comprehend or be wise because they're hearing from a carnal perspective, a sense perspective. So Yah says to us, he said, when we're easily led in the wrong way, he said, puts us in a position where we don't operate in wisdom because, I heard that, y'all, so I'm going to slow down and say this. I'm going to ask a question, and you don't have to answer it unless you just want to. You want me to tell you how to know when we're operating in foolishness? Say it again. May say it twice. Do you know how to determine when we are operating in foolishness? Say it one more time. Is there a way? Do we understand when we are operating in foolishness? How do we determine it? Is there something out there that will give us insight on when we're operating in foolishness? Because what we just pointed out is that the scripture says, seeing that they may not see with the body or bodily eye or sight, and hearing they may not understand, comprehend or be wise. I'm operating in foolishness when I allow my senses to be the avenue by which I comprehend things. Because I know people can't do this that's here in conference call, but I'm going to give them a mental picture of what I'm doing. I'm going to hold up a certain number of fingers, and I want y'all to tell me how many fingers that I hold up. Okay, y'all ready? And I know folks in conference calls, so I'm going to hold up a certain number of fingers. Y'all ready? Okay, how many did I hold up?
Two.
Huh? You said two. One said two. The other, you said four.
You said.
Yeah. Okay. My question is: I have one here that said I held up two fingers. I have the other one that said I held up four. Now, why are you saying I held up two?
I mean, the way you hand motion was.
Okay. Okay, where my hand motion was and went up like it was two?
Yeah.
Okay, why are you saying that I gave four? You saying the same thing? See, we're looking at two perspectives. Of how many fingers I held up based upon their own senses. Now, the reality of it is I didn't hold up any. But because the eyes, the senses can deceive us, and even I'm telling you that I'm holding up fingers and never hold them up, if you're not careful, you start looking for anything to identify with the count. It is to let us know how the senses can deceive. We can think. All I was doing is wave my hand and say, okay, how many? And people was like, okay, two, and it's four, and something. You may be thinking some other numbers and things like that. Well, I'm just going to be on the safe side and not say nothing. But either way it go, it was still a point to let us know how the senses can be deceptive. We had two people sitting in the room, and one said two, and the other one said four. Because it was what their senses revealed to them. That's why it's vitally important that we can't always go by our senses. Our senses can even deceive us. You can think somebody said something. You can think somebody meant something. You can think you heard it this way. You can think you saw it this way. You know, sometimes I watch these games where people put blindfolds over somebody's eyes and then try to make a determination of what the object is based upon feeling it. And boy, they be saying some crazy stuff, all because their touch sense can also be deceptive. You can put your hand in something, and if you ain't covered, you start screaming. You think you done put your, you know, and I use a lady. A lady can think she's put her hand in a can of worms, and it may be spaghetti. All because the senses can be deceptive, and so that's why it's vitally important for us to be led by the Ruach, be led by the Spirit, because when we're led by the Spirit, it puts us in a position where we don't make judgments based up on our senses, because that is not 100% proof. You know how many lives have been destroyed because of senses? I thought they said. He looked at me a certain way. You know how many people have died because somebody thought somebody looked at them in a strange way? I didn't like the way he looked at me. He looked at me like he wanted to do something to me. So it's vitally important that we can't operate in these senses, because what it does is put us in a position where we really not comprehending. See, it was my two girls who saw two, and the other one saw four. So, you know, it's vitally important for my girls not to go by their senses, because their senses put them in a position where it manifested that it wasn't wisdom. And it worked well. That's how I wanted it to manifest. Just to show to teach everybody a parable, so to speak. We can't go by the senses. And that's why he said, you know, because our senses only reveal parables. Okay? It only manifests parables, okay? Things are always concealed when we operate according to the senses. Okay? And so, here's what I said as far as the word of the day was concerned. I said, if it easily makes sense, I said, question it, because the truth is hard to swallow. Now, that's a parable. There was nothing but a parable. An individual asked me, was like, okay, what are you really saying? And I was saying, well, I'm revealing a parable within this thing. If it easily makes sense, then question it, because the truth is hard to swallow. In a nutshell, I'm just basically saying the truth is hard to comprehend when we look at it from a perspective of the senses. If it easily makes sense to your senses, if the senses is willing to adjust to it right off the get-go, then question it. If somebody show you something that look good, question it. They sure tend to sound good. Question it. Because we're not called to operate in the sense realm. That's why I say if it easily makes sense, I'm talking about the senses. You question it if it's always something to appease the senses. You got to question it. If somebody's always doing something to please the flesh, then question it. Because those that love you will tell you things by the leading of the Spirit that's not always pleasing to the flesh. What the Scripture said, whom the Lord, whom Jehovah loveth, he chasteneth, meaning he corrects, he disciplines. He deal with it in a way to keep them learning and coming into the knowledge of the kingdom. He keeps them in those positions. He's always dealing with his pupils. Jesus always, Jehoshua always taught his learners. He was always dealing with them in a way to allow them to understand things of the kingdom. Truth is hard to swallow. The truth is hard to comprehend to those who are not learners. To those who are not disciples, who are not pupils, when we are pupils, it is given to us to know, and so information of the kingdom, the hidden things, will always be revealed to us in one fashion or another. Ain't nothing special about me. Only thing is, I'm just someone who has been given to know things. Because of me being a follower of Yahushua Mashiach, and you know, obviously it has some things to do with my calling, but I'm just laying things out from a perspective to get all of us on the same page. I'm no different from you from the perspective that Yah is always giving me to know things. He's giving me to know things. And he doesn't always reveal to them by me. He doesn't reveal these things to me by the senses. That's why I don't go by my senses. You know, I know I have to operate in them to a certain perspective. When it comes down to the things of the kingdom, I'm always looking to be led by the Spirit of Yah. So from that perspective, people like that are going to be able to speak things, going to be able to hear things. They're going to be able to hear things with nothing to say. They're going to be able to speak things when they've never heard it before. These things are going to be able to take place because of this. Okay? And so it's vitally important for us to understand that. And this is why, as I get ready to close, I want to read this particular passage. Any questions or comments at this point? We good? Okay. Make it this last one. Second Timothy 3, verse 1, and then we'll close. And all I'm going to do is read this. All I'm going to do is read read verse 1. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. These are the times that we live in, and this is why it's kind of hard for me to do it, but I'm going to just kind of stick with verse 1. I may skip down to verse 5, but in particular, verse 1. And 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says, "This know also that in the last days," these are the days that we're living in, it says, "perilous times shall come, Now, when you look at perilous times, it is vitally important for you to understand that perilous means dangerous. It means difficult. But they are designed for reducing the strength of the pupil. They're designed for reducing the strength of the pupil or the learner. And so it's vitally important for us to understand that as we're discussing things from the perspective of deception and people wanting to cater to lies and operate in the senses, you have to understand that there are going to be people who are constantly coming around you that sole purpose is to cause you to enter into perilous times. Now, their way of doing that is to cause a reducing in the strength that you have. See, I'm just trying to see how to word it. Once it's established that you are a pupil, you have to understand that things are going to, things, what I mean by things, person, place, or things, you have to understand that things are going to start to come around you or to try to influence you in a way to take away the strength, okay, reducing the strength that you have for being that pupil or learner. If you start to notice, especially those, you know, some of us may not be experiencing it in some ways as others, but perilous time happens when the hidden things start to be revealed to us and we start to grow. Then it's always circumstances that's designed to try to reduce the strength. We have to understand that comes with being a pupil. That comes with learning. When we learn and we grow and we started, you know, when y'all start sending people to us and we start, you know, learning things, we start learning how to be led by the Spirit of Yah, well, there's always going to be circumstances for whatever reason or another that's going to come to cause perilous time or dangerous times, in a nutshell. It's always going to be something that's designed to cause you to lose strength. It may be a person, it may be a place, it may be a thing. People are going to always be pulling on you in one fashion or another to try to get you in a perilous situation. What I'm saying is not to share is some things going to be happening to you and people are going to be trying to tug you in the wrong way at the same time. Those are perilous times. Dangerous times, fierce times, through the ideal of reducing the strength. In other words, that circumstance is not happening, but for the sole purpose of reducing the strength that you have from a perspective of the kingdom of Yah. I got some news today. I was dealing with some business matters and stuff like that today. And the phone call that I got, in reference to the business that I was dealing with, it amazed me to hear the individual say the things that he did, and I knew it was nothing but to reduce my strength. It was nothing but to make me doubt what I know Yah has revealed. And you're going to run across people like that. You're going to run across people because of the time frame that we're living in, that they're sent to deceive. Their mindset is to try to deceive you in any way that they can in order to take the strength from you. Because, see, they're not strong enough. They don't comprehend. So since it's not given to them to know, they only see things in parables. The first thing they want to do is to try to take your strength away. Try to lead and guide you in the opposite direction, for whatever reason it may be. If you notice, if you notice, as we've been continuing to grow, there may be circumstances whereby, you know, it's being presented, and it doesn't matter which way the circumstance may be coming, but it's being presented in ways that will cause us to realize, just from the perspective of verse 1, we're living in perilous times. Verse 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own self. We're running into selfish people, covetous people, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. All these things are sent to take the strength away. All of them may have different things that's going on in one fast or another, but they're all designed to take the strength away from us as being a pupil or a learner. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yah. Now what is it so special about you? Why you gotta set time aside to go to training school? Man, you can do that anytime. Girl, you can do that anytime. Why you got to, you know, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yah? This is why, because there are a lot of people out there who, verse 5 says, have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They don't operate in the power thereof. They have this form of godliness. You run into the average person, they will tell you they're Christians. I love Jesus, but they reject the power. If you notice, you as a pupil and a learner, you will run across people who say that they just like you, but they don't want to learn. They don't want to be disciples. But yet they will tell you that they love Yahushua just as much as you do. But what is it about these people? You need to question it. What is it about these people that will confidently say how much they love Yah, but yet they won't put themselves in position to be a pupil of having a form. Having a form. Having the appearance of God. But they reject the power of it. Because those who operate in godliness, there's power associated with it, the cause that manifestation of that power working on. In other words, we're going to constantly be changing for the better. We're going to be morally righteous from a perspective of growing in the things of Yah. Other than that, it's just form. And a form of godliness, but rejecting the power thereof. The scripture says, from such turn away. In other words, avoid people like that. That's why Yah, you hear this, you as a pupil, and then I'm going to close the hell if you don't have anything to close. This is why it's vitally important for you to understand that you as a pupil, you as a learner of the kingdom, you're a student of the kingdom. You're someone who sincerely want to grow in the things of God. You don't have the form of godliness. You don't have the appearance of it, but you are actually like what our Savior said to the disciples. You are someone that is given to know. I have chosen that hidden things be revealed to you. God said it's vitally important for you to understand that he's going to be causing people and circumstances to get out of your life. If you want to be a pupil, then anything that is not, y'all gonna fix it where you can avoid it. I don't care if it's mother, father, sister, brother, you name it. Because it's vitally important that in the kingdom, it's not about relationship from a perspective of the senses. Y'all know I always tell you I have siblings who are not my siblings, and yet I have people who are not my siblings that are my brothers and sisters. because it's not from a sensual or a carnal perspective. It's from a discipleship perspective. Those who obey the will of my Father are my family. I got family members that are not even my family. I got family members that's that's my blood relatives that are not my family. And I have people who were not blood relatives from a perspective of immediate family, because we know we're Israelites, so we're all blood relatives. But I'm saying it from a perspective of understanding. I have family who are blood relatives. I have siblings who I look at as not even related, who I'm not even related to, because they don't obey the will of my Father. I still love them. But I know that the scripture tells me that people who operate within these lists of verse 2 through verse 5, that he's saying to me, from such turn away. You need to avoid those people. Because if you don't avoid them, they're going to take your strength away. You know the old saying, what's the old saying? If you hang around with dogs, you get over what? Thank you. It is impossible to hang around with a flea-infested dog and you not get fleas. You can be spraying all the rage you want to. One of them fleas don't get in your stuff. So Yah says that this list of people, for whatever reason or another, who cannot comprehend the kingdom because they're caught up in the fables and fiction, they're caught up in the lie, they would rather believe a lie than the truth, he said these people have a mindset that is not in line with the kingdom, and since it's not in line with the kingdom, he said, you have to avoid it. There are family members that I avoid. There are friends that I've had that I avoid. I'm willing to avoid anybody who is not willing to be a pupil of the kingdom. I'm tied down to no man. I'm bound I'm merged with the mind of Yah, and I'm willing to avoid anything that doesn't want to be a pupil of the kingdom. Because I know that anything that doesn't want to be a pupil of the kingdom is something that's put in my life in order to drain me and to remove the strength from me to cause me to be just like them. Lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of Yah, having a form of godliness, but rejecting the power thereof. That's who I'm going to be if I don't reject them. If I don't reject them, I become them. I'm going to ask one more time before I close. If you lay down with dogs, you get through what? Now, most people don't want to accept that. They will look at me and say, that's a lie. But that's a law. That's a parable that reveals the truth. Whatever we spend the most time with, that's what we're going to be like. Who do you spend your time with? Do you spend your time being a pupil of Yah or a pupil of the world? Do we spend our time being a pupil of the senses or a pupil of the spirit? Wherever we spend our time with is what we're going to be. So I like what the disciples said as I get ready to close. Once he was dealing with those, he was speaking things in parables to the other disciples. It was originally, I believe, 82 disciples. It was more than that, but more than that to a certain perspective. But there were basically 82, and so 70 of them left him. And it was only the 12 left again. Because he gave a parable, he was saying, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. They were like, man, he's gone crazy. I ain't going to eat his flesh and drink his blood, so they left him. He looked at the 12 and said, are you going to leave too? They said, no. They said, where are we going? They said, you have the words of life. Where are we going to go? It was given to them to know. But to the other 70, it was spoken to them in parables, and they left because the kingdom was hidden to them because of their mindset. They would rather believe a lie than the truth. The line is drawn in the sand. This is going to be, in these last days, a world filled with lies and deception. And the truth is going to be a rare occurrence. What are we going to do? Follow the masses? Or are we going to stand for the truth? These are the days that we're living in. We're living in perilous times, and we have decisions to make. We have to make up our mind which side of this line we're going to be on. But I encourage you to be a learner, be a pupil of the kingdom, and you experience things at a level that you never imagined. All right, I'm through. Anybody have any questions or comments? Good. Okay. All right, Father Yahweh, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for another lesson as we seek you for just wisdom and understanding. We declare that we are the pupils, the learners of the kingdom. And you've given us things to know. These things that we know, we will speak it boldly. We will speak it with the conviction and the zeal of our Savior himself. Because we love our Most High Yah. And we give you the glory for our Savior who has made things possible through his wisdom for us to operate in the wisdom of the kingdom. We glorify you, Most High, in all things that you do and we do. In his name we pray, amen.